Then Chazon Ish Emunah Bitachon, we're on page Tet Vav. The Chazon Ish had explained that Emunah is the recognition, it is the formula, it is the philosophy that Hashem runs the world, that Hashem has control over the world. Bitachon is the implementation. When a person has to deal with life, and suddenly life throws challenges at a person, so then one is challenged. Maybe he should cheat on his taxes. Maybe he should lie to the policeman who just pulled him over. Maybe he should say a fib when they ask him at passport control or when he tries to board the plane with luggage that's beyond the weight. So a person is suddenly challenged. Does he really believe Hashem runs the world? Is he really going to stand up to that? That's bitachon. And so emunah is the theory and bitachon is the practice. And the Chazon Ish had said in the previous paragraph that sometimes we find that when life is good, it's very easy to have bitachon. A person can talk bitachon. Have faith in the Ribon Shel Olam. But suddenly when a person is up against the wall, that's when it's far more difficult to have bitachon. So a person very often can convince the whole world, including himself, that he has tremendous bitachon, but it's all dreams, until he has to face reality. I had a good friend who told me how he was Chozer B'tshuva, and his grandmother passed away and left them an inheritance, and he was working to make ends meet, and his wife was working to make ends meet, and here he didn't have a job, and there his wife didn't have a job, and they had their financial ups and downs, and they always spoke about bitachon. A person has to have bitachon in Hashem, things will work out. And they always spoke about bitachon until they finished up his grandmother's inheritance. And then suddenly, when he lost his job, things got very uptight in the house. And they looked at one another, he and his wife, and they said, "Where'd our bitachon all go?" And then they realized our bitachon was in grandma's inheritance. It wasn't in Hashem. We were talking about bitachon, but all the while we were talking bitachon, it was easy to talk because we were living off of grandma's inheritance. Now that it's all done, now we have to really live bitachon, really be calm with the kids, even though we're not exactly sure how we're putting bread on the table next week. And that's far more difficult. Suddenly they realized all that talk about bitachon was not real. And that's what the Chazon Ish is saying now, that very often when life does not challenge a person, one speaks about bitachon and one can convince the whole world, including oneself, that one actually has bitachon, but it's not true. Because no one knows what will happen in the future. And we're continuing in the second paragraph. But you know how a person is tested if his mouth and heart are both in the same place? Does he really have faith in Hashem? Or has he only accustomed his tongue to chirp, bitachon, bitachon, have faith in Hashem, but it's really not nested in his heart? When one suddenly encounters something that requires of him bitachon, and at that juncture, bitachon is what should decide for him his next course of action. In certain ways, that's his cure, because the bitachon is what gives him the strength to stand up to the test. When he really has to deal with the challenges of life, does he then turn to his bitachon? Or does a person have bitachon the rest of the year, but when suddenly the going goes rough, so then he suddenly does not have bitachon. Then suddenly he looks for all kinds of other false solutions. Maybe he can go and ask someone a gematria that will tell him what to do in life. He never met the person never met him, but he saw a lot of people kissing his hands at the Kotel, so maybe he should be the one to tell him who he should marry and who he shouldn't marry. And maybe not. Real bitachon is I'm going to work with the Ribon Shel Olam and hope that Hashem helps me reach the resolution I want. And even if I don't get where I want to, I know that Hashem is in control. I have to put in my effort, but I recognize that He's pulling the strings. El emtzaim megunim v'tachbulot shav. When a person is faced with a challenge, does he suddenly use improper tactics? Where does this come up? When your competition is putting you in a corner, or you perceive it as though your competition is putting you in a corner. Then how does one behave? What level does one go to? If one has real bitachon, then one doesn't have to be so uptight because someone else opened up a shop next door. But that's where bitachon comes to play in real life. And again, we're not saying that a person shouldn't put in the effort, but we put in the effort within the system, and that's where the Chazon Ish is going to take us, where the Chazon Ish is going to explain how when a person has bitachon, he will invest in effort, but the effort will be guided by the guidelines of Torah and Halacha. We're not talking about sitting back and saying, Hashem runs the show, so I don't have to do anything, it'll work out. But we are talking about a person investing the effort, and investing the effort in permissible ways. People often ask me, can I cheat on taxes? And I always say, if you want to ask me, I'll answer you. But on this, I believe a person has to be very stringent. I don't believe you can cheat on taxes. But I do believe you can use every legal loophole to get out of paying taxes. You don't have to be more pious than the system. If the system created loopholes, use them. Within the system, do everything you can to get out of taxes. You don't have to find ways, let me donate more money to the government. You want to donate money. But if you want to get out of it, fine, within the system. So that's, the Chazon Ish says, emunah is the test of how a person will behave when he's suddenly up against the challenges of life. We're continuing into the third, bitachon. Now we're going into the third paragraph. U'mashanu ruim b'chayim. Now let's take a look at real life. What actually happens? Reuven ish musari. You look at a guy, we'll call him Reuven. He is a very ethical, upstanding member of society. V'zimrat ha'bitachon adal sfatav tamid. And whenever you hear him talk, he'll always mention bitachon. It's a common word in his vernacular. Megane et rov hashtadlut. And when he sees other people who work so hard, he always says, why do they have to work so hard? Why do they try so hard? Don't they realize Hashem runs the show? U'meta'ev et hardifach al panasa. And he looks at people who try so hard to make ends meet at the end of the day, and he says, why do they invest so much effort in making a living? V'omnam u'ish matzliach. And Reuven happens to be a very successful businessman. And his store always has customers. And so Reuven has a life where he doesn't have to work too hard. He invests a small amount of effort. He happens to have an excellent store, excellent location, excellent customers, and he's making a great living without working hard. So he looks around him, and he sees everyone else working hard for a living, and he says, why don't they have bitachon? Why are they working so hard? You see, Reuven loves the concept bitachon because bitachon seems to have shined a light on him, right? It's as though life is shining on him. So yeah, then you can say, isn't life great? We should all have faith things will work out right. Yeah, that's easily said when you're the one who life is working out right for. And then we're suddenly surprised to see Reuven, who had such confidence in Hashem, suddenly he's whispering with his lads, with his confidants, that's what it's pronounced. How do I undo my friend's plot? He says, you know, my friend is about to open a store just like mine. How do I ensure that the authorities don't let him do it? How do I make sure that he fails miserably? And suddenly you see Reuven turns sour over this. And even though initially it's only deep inside that he's upset that someone else is opening a shop next to him, he's not telling anyone what his deep thoughts are. He doesn't want to be embarrassed if people know. But slowly he starts losing his shame. He starts talking to people. And suddenly you see him actively attempting to change the thoughts of his friend. And you see him slowly advancing in a life and a path of dishonesty. And you see that suddenly shame melts away from his heart. Suddenly he's not embarrassed to behave this way. And you suddenly see him openly doing brazen despicable acts. Upulot shvilot le'en kol chai. You suddenly see him behaving in a despicable way without any shame. Ve'ha'hitcharut shebeino v'en're'ehu mitparsemet tachlit ha'pirsum v'nasa le'sichat ha'yamim. And suddenly, everyone's talking about it. It's plain conversation that there's cutthroat business going on between him and the next guy. And he doesn't even know to be embarrassed about it. Wait a second. Wait, Reuven. A half a year ago, you were talking about bitachon. Why do people work so hard? And now you're ready to kill the other guy. You're doing everything to defame him, to ruin his reputation. And Reuven will give you all kinds of reasons and convoluted explanations, ashel b'sheker yesodam, when in fact, the foundation of all his reasoning is a lie. Kdei latzdik et masav, but he's trying to justify his behavior. Od mitchaken losif biurim chadashim labkarim, shekol ma shemitchare neged rehu l'shem shamayim v'al pi Torah u'musar. You'll find him telling you, I'm competing with him in the name of heaven. You don't know what kind of guy he is. The world is much better off if my store stays open. I'm doing it all for the sake of heaven. I'm all doing it based on the Torah and ethics. Umashleet atzmo la'amin ken, and he deceives himself to believe that that's in fact true. Umategam zulatok tanei adat o'avei haktatot, and he can even deceive others. Others who are not smart enough to see through it. Or others who have this weakness that they like a good fight. And what most often happens is that he suddenly finds himself surrounded by people who like a good fight. There are a lot of people who like action. You see that wherever you go. You'll see it in yeshiva, you'll see it in shul, you'll see it everywhere. You see it in the Knesset. There are people who like action. What's action? Action isn't let's have productive, effective policy. Action is, let's have drama, right? Let's have arguments. Let's have fights. And then there are those people who love gossip. So they're also, they want to be in the know. So this Reuven, who was always the height of piety, or at least externally he represented the height of piety, he was always talking about how everyone should have bitachon, when suddenly he feels his livelihood is threatened. Oh boy, do you see him competing. And even though these people are really people who are always fighting, it doesn't matter which fight, suddenly with him they make peace to join his fight. And suddenly you see them building a fortress of fights and arguments and slander and rechilut, spreading gossip and lies and baseless hatred. And you see, these things can live on for a very long time. And even though I gave you an example, the Chazanish says, of two people who are competing in the mundane, in a business, you should know that the same thing can happen when people compete in the spiritual world. They're competing, but theoretically, in the spiritual world, people can also fall the same fall. Just a second. You have special circumstances and things that are not so clear. And suddenly you see them having a fight that's no different than the fight of the two storekeepers. All in the name of heaven, right? But what are they doing? How can you spread lies about someone else? How can you... So where's the bitachon? If a person really had bitachon, he wouldn't have to damage someone else. He wouldn't have to hurt someone else. So that's the example the Chazon Ish gave of a common occurrence where people can talk bitachon till their back is up against the wall, and then suddenly, when they feel that they're threatened, so then they're willing to do everything. And they have no limits. And true bitachon would say, as we will study further on in the chapter, that true bitachon would demand of us that we work within the system even when our back is against the wall. We're going to do what's permitted, we're not going to do what's prohibited. And even though it's not so comfortable, and we feel like, if I break the rules, I'd be 10 steps ahead. Okay, I don't have that option. Okay, yes.